Blog Talk Radio.
Computer, is it computer buffering? November 17, 2022. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health, good shape, and a good mental. Hope wherever you're at, you're warm or you're cold. I mean, or cool, depending on what you want to be at this particular time. It's cold in Southeast Virginia. Winter is here. The hawk has arrived. And welcome to the off-ramp, the show for the people by the people that embody the people. It's a show me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in these streets for the last week. Have a good conversation. Have some jokes, some laughs, some discussions, some disagreements. But it's a safe place. We hide the names and faces to protect the innocent. I don't want anybody getting fired for their opinion. I don't want anybody getting fired for mentioning any groups. Or if I get canceled, we don't tolerate, I guess, hate speech on here. Yeah, a couple people came in some hate speech. I let it go to laugh a little bit, but then my wife told me to kick them out, so I kicked them out. But if you want to call in, feel free, 929-477-3975. You can find us on all the Twitters. You can find us on Elon Musk's Twitter still. I'm thinking about buying the blue check for the offer. It's only $8.
But you don't put anything on
there. DJC Siren, welcome to the offer. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay.
You're right. I don't put anything on Twitter. But we on there. We on the Twitters. We on the book faces. We on the Instamams. We not on TikTok. Haven't got there yet. But, you know. Maybe one day.
They monitor you.
Who, the Chinese?
Yeah.
The Chinese or the Jews?
Chinese, TikTok. They monitor you. On TikTok.
I believe we're all getting monitored from everybody. Am I smelling your finger? Oh, you're blistering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DJ, she's sorry, burned herself. She was in here cooking. She's cooking up sausages. Sometimes she always tears her fingers up. Her whole family is just not good with fingers. Like, her and her dad's side of the family is just...
My dad one time?
A couple times. He got a whole disease in his hands.
No, but
he done cut his finger off.
Yeah.
I know he done took a couple nails in that joint.
Oh.
Look, I'm not beefing with your dad's fingers because I feel like them things have seen life. But you know, you can hit us up on the Twitters and Instagrams and Facebooks. Leave a comment, leave a message, you know, chime into the show. We're supposed to be on Twitch by this week. I downloaded the software, but I forgot my Twitch username and password. They don't talk to you about how great it is that these computers can remember all your names and passwords, but it really puts us at a hindrance because we forget. Like, I know there's a bunch of people who are out there millionaires. I swear I bought a Bitcoin in 1999, but I don't remember the password, and it's on, like, my Windows 95 computer.
Did they have a Bitcoin in 1999?
I think so. Because the guy who built me my first computer was a cop. at Towson University, and we worked maintenance together. Well, I worked maintenance, so, you know, when there was a call or something happened to a building because the student did something stupid, they would show up, and he wanted to get into computers, and he built computers. And I remember him talking to me about digital currency. He's like, yeah, you can buy this stuff right now for $3. And I swore I gave him some money. And he gave me a pass-through for it. I was like, oh, this is the dumbest thing ever. I don't know what to ever do with this. I doubt if it was a Bitcoin. I might have got hustled.
Maybe.
But we could be millionaires. Well, not now. Bitcoin in the tank. All them digital currencies in the tank right now. People going crazy. A lot of people lost money. But, you know, I'm sure it'll rise again. They'll figure it out. That's how all these things go. But, again, welcome to the off-ramp. We are almost at Thanksgiving. I guess we won't be on next week due to the holiday. I guess DJ C-Sire, we ain't got no plan. But, so we might be on. Maybe we'll do our first Twitch episode Thanksgiving night so it could just be us and we can test it out. Because I doubt if anybody jump on. But, you know, speaking of jump on, no homo. Got my man Blair in the building. Blair, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm good. You know me, blessed and highly favored as always. I think you was reaching with that no homo, though, man. I don't know if that was applicable in this case, but yeah, man. Jump on is jump on, man. I think you might. Yeah, that might be a reach. I think I'm gonna go ahead and say that was a reach.
I don't know, man. But just in case, I didn't want to say, hey, my man Blair's jumping on. I feel like that's a gay comment. There's nothing wrong with being gay, though. I'll get that for y'all. I love the gays. No homo.
You really don't
have to say
that after jumping on.
Not,
there's nothing.
I don't know why y'all get so frustrated. It's just jokes. But
hey, Dave Chappelle, man, people can't take no jokes no more.
Yeah, it's tough for us great comedians out here. It's tough for us great comedians out here. A lot of people are really, really sensitive. But I've always said, it's one of those things. And that Dave Chappelle, you know, he was on Saturday Night Live. I guess we can jump into that now. It's one of those things where I always say, like, because I've always been a person that cracked jokes, you know, I've gotten myself in trouble for talking shit about people, but I've made a ton of people laugh. Like, once you decide to talk about someone else, you're at the mercy of whatever their reaction is. But if you can laugh at yourself and the situations you put yourself in, then you're pretty much safe from anybody bothering you. Dave Chappelle cracking jokes about the Kyrie Irving and Kanye West and the whole attack on Jewish folks right now and the whole anti-Semitism, I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was absolutely great, and I didn't think it was anything anti-Semitic about it. I think he's just great at pointing out subtleties of inconsistency, which is what I do, and then people get mad at me for it. But you know, I thought Dave's performance was absolutely masterful on Saturday Night Live. Blair, did you watch it?
You know what? I feel like I've seen the whole thing now. I don't say I watched it because I didn't like watch it live or through the thing. I think I've seen about 30 minutes worth of clips, so I feel like I've seen the whole thing. This is probably, I don't say his best because I don't want to remember all of them, but it's probably his best Saturday Night Live appearance in a long time, because the past couple ones have been pretty whack. But Dave Chappelle is a victim of his own success and his own talent. Can you be a victim of your own talent? That might be it, because his jokes are so, they like Jay-Z bars, man. They're double entendres in the jokes. He's telling a joke that's going to get you an immediate laugh, but there's another whole level to the joke that's funny to different people once you catch it. And the people who laughing at the first part are not the same people who catching the sub-level of the joke. And then there's other people who ain't laughing, ain't getting neither one of it. And I think he might be too good at doing that. Or depending on what the objective is, then. But his jokes, especially the monologue, it had levels to it. And if you ain't picking up the levels, then it might not hit right. So I can understand people being upset or not getting it. I guess that's the definition of not getting it. Like, you didn't see all the levels. But, yeah, I can understand people being upset because clearly it either went over their head or they just ain't grasped what he was putting down.
I don't understand how people can get upset because he stayed at the very beginning, and I guess that's part of the joke. That, oh, well, DJ Cesar, did you watch any of the Dave Chappelle? Did you go back and look at it on the internet? Oh, you ain't seen it yet? I know you were asleep. DJ Cesar, look, let me tell you about my wife Saturday night. She was so hyped because Dave Chappelle was going to Saturday Night Live, and her favorite stuffy rapper knows Mos Def was going to be. Mos Def, for some reason, they let him in with his worldwide passport. They let him back in America. And he was coming on Saturday Night Live to do their new joints and their new album that she ain't bought yet because she don't believe in going on a website and buying music, which I keep telling her, just buy it.
Like a subscription.
We can probably buy the vinyl. So she was so hyped at like 7 o'clock. She said, you know what? I'm going to take a nap.
No, we laid down. You took a nap. You said, just take a nap. And I was like, I don't think so. I'm trying not to go to sleep. I didn't go to sleep. I stayed up.
So why did you lay in the bed?
Watching TV. We were watching the movie.
Oh, I said take a nap so we could stay up for Saturday Night Live. Well, you fell asleep. When I woke up, you were asleep. We ain't been good. When I woke up, you were asleep.
It didn't work. I tried to not go to sleep,
and then I did. Anyway, I thought
you
we were going.
You didn't wake me up. You didn't try.
Did you? Yes, I did. Can you stop accusing me of something you don't know?
I asked. Did you?
You said you didn't wake me up.
Did
you? That's not. That's accusing. That's accusing. Blur. Is that an accusation or is that a question?
Yeah,
I mean, I think you both might be right. I think that's an accusatory question.
That's definitely an accusatory. You don't tell somebody.
He said it was.
We're both right. We're not right. That was an accusation. You can't say.
But it was an accusation in the form of a question.
You can't say you didn't do something. Did you? That's a terrible
one. Your answer is to correct me if that statement is wrong.
It's wrong. I did try to wait.
Oh, okay.
Because that was my whole plan. I was going to take a nap. Because, look, it's funny being old now because I'm used to getting up about 5:30. Even on Saturdays, you know, when I don't – well, Sunday mornings when I don't have to get up until, you know, 8, 9 o'clock or just whenever I have to get up because my son doesn't play football until late on Sundays, I can't stay up late. Like, we'll have our day, we'll run around, I'll be watching college football, and then right about that 10:30 mark, I lean over on the couch, and then it's a wrap. So anyway, so we took a nap. Well, I took a nap so I could stay up and watch Dave Chappelle. And DJ Cesar took a nap with me, but she just never woke up. She slept from like 6 p.m. to like 9 a.m. It was ridiculous.
No, I woke up at
2 a.m.?
12. I
called
the end of Saturday.
Oh, I think I was drunk by then. But, yeah, so anyway, so I thought Dave Chappelle did a good job. I thought the skits were good. But, yeah, I don't understand how people could get upset because he said in the very beginning he's against any hate and he's not anti-Semitic. And at that point, as a comedian, you know you want to get jokes about the situation. It's not like anything he said attacked Jewish people. So I don't understand how anybody could be upset. He made jokes of similarities between black people, Jewish people, and how Jewish people get upset, but black people shouldn't. I don't know if that's a real attack on Jewish people or just pointing out what he sees as inconsistency. Somebody else might not. But
Well, you should never have to explain a joke, but at the same time, just that first part there, like when you open up with the disclaimer, that's just saying no disrespect, because you know you're about to be disrespectful. And he said, and he's like, Kanye, that's how you buy yourself some time, because you know you're about to say some shit that is going to be contrary to what you just said before. And then the whole thing, you know, when he was comparing Jews to black people, I can see. I don't agree. I think I understood exactly what he was saying. But I can see how somebody, especially if you're Jewish, and you're like, oh, you said a bunch of black people is a gang. Are you trying to say Jewish people should be looked at as gangs too? So I can see that. I can see, like, I don't agree, but I can see how someone can hear that and, like, take it that way. Again, it's a subjective art. And he's great at it. Sometimes he's great at it. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not what he was trying to come across. But I could see somebody. You can't really control how people interpret your art.
That's true. I mean, I mean, but that was a joke. You said a gang of black people was called, or a bunch of black people was called a gang. A bunch of Italians was called a mob. A bunch of Jewish people was called a coincidence. Like, that's not saying anything bad about Jewish people, but it's a great joke if you understand why Kanye and Kyrie are being forced to apologize. And, you know, but it's not saying anything bad about, it's not even implying anything about Jewish people. I think it's just a great joke if you see, if you're just observant of what's been in the news lately. So I don't know how anybody, but again, I'm not Jewish, so I can't be ignorant enough to say, you know, if somebody's making, you know, like I was watching the Neil Brennan special. Me and BJ were watching the Neil Brennan special. Like, he said he's great at writing racist jokes. Coming from a white dude, I could see how a black person would be offended, but in the same breath, he didn't say anything bad about black people. But I can see how a black person would infer in that, oh, you're just really good at being racist.
But he's clear. Well, I guess, do you have to be good at being racist to write really good racist jokes?
I don't know, because I think of racist jokes all the time, and I think I love everybody. But someone on a psychologist level might tell me, no, you have some underlying issues.
Because like, you have to have thoughts, like you have to think of these things. So you have to think racist thoughts to come up with racist jokes. And I love a good race joke. I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, you can never know what's in somebody's heart. Like, you just don't. And I think to be racist, you have to, like, have hatred in your heart for that particular race or a particular race. And
but you know what,
maybe Neil Brennan doesn't hate people, but he has to have a racist mind to come up with racist jokes. Even if he doesn't feel it, like, you got to have to be able to think it.
I don't think so, because you just might be observant in race. I think I'm really observant. Like, I crack race jokes all the time with people I don't even know. My son is on a team with people from Norway. And this is the second time, and it's weird. You know, I never would have thought how beneficial living in this area would be for my son to experience so many different people. This is the second team that he's been on where he's made friends with someone from a complete different country. And I would have never thought about that just because, you know, I just never was big in the military, so I didn't realize what living in a military town does. But he's got a good friend from France, and now he's got a good friend from Norway. Now, me and his dad and the mom, we talk all the time now that I quit coaching my son's team due to me beefing with the head coach. Well, the head coach being upset with me because he's a terrible coach. But, like, talking to somebody from another country, like Norway, because you know it ain't no black people there. Like, I would love to meet a black Norwegian.
They've immigrated from Africa.
Right. But I want to meet the black man that says, I'm Norwegian. I mean, yeah. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo is Greek, but we know he ain't Greek.
Right.
He's Nigerian or something.
But yeah, anyway. He's Nigerian, but I think he just played for the Greek team, which is where he got his shine at, which got the nickname the Greek Freak. But
nah,
you have to think those thoughts, though. Like, I'm trying to think of a racist joke. Man, I'm drawing a blank. Maybe I'm not good at being racist. Oh, wait. I think I put this in the group text. The girl, the Indian chick, and the dude just asked her, 7-Eleven or 9-11? That's a racist joke. That's a racist joke.
Funny.
But you have to think that. And he may not be racist towards any of the Indians, but you have to think that. You have to think, oh, this is an Indian person. Hey, they could be this Indian or this Indian. Like, that's a racist thought. And maybe you love them completely, nothing but love in your heart. But you still have to think in that racist way to come up with that racist joke. Ain't nothing wrong with it, though. I think as long as your actions don't make it that way, and again, if you ain't treating people differently, even if you hate them, if you ain't treating them differently and your actions don't bear out, hey, however you feel internally, keep it internal.
But see, that's where I say, you know how people are if you know them. Like, you know people's heart if you know them. The chance you take is if you crack these racist jokes in front of a bunch of people who don't know you, then they have a right to judge however they want. Like, I was watching Mike Scherr, who's one of the guys who wrote with Neil Brennan. And he was saying that, you know, comics nowadays, especially guys like Dave Chappelle, are like, yo, it's a dangerous place out here for comics. We can't crack our jokes. And he was like, you just got to understand that. It's not that you can't crack your jokes. It's just that not everyone has a voice. And if somebody says, yo, I don't like your transgender jokes, Dave Chappelle, like, you shouldn't complain about it because they have a voice too. Like, you should have a right to crack your jokes. But if somebody says, yo, I don't fuck with that, you got to chalk it up. That's their right.
And that's why I really don't believe in cancel culture, because you're going to have an audience. Maybe you'll have an audience, which is the same thing we talk about on here all the time. I talk about discrimination or segregation. It's like, pick your side or whatever and stand on it. And the people who stand with you will support you, and the people who don't. So be it. When everybody was suddenly saying that it's dangerous out here for comedians, the comedian Andrew Schultz, he was like, F that. And he started this whole little flagrant movement. We're going to tell flagrant jokes for the people who don't care about that. Everybody get these jokes. Black people, white people, Indian, everybody get jokes. He's like, you're going to come to my show. And he made a point of saying, everybody's going to be at my show. And everybody understands we're all going to laugh at everybody. Everybody gets it. Republicans, Democrats, Muslims, gay people, straight people, religious people, atheists, everybody gets it. And I used to think it was funny. Actually, he dropped his special. He dropped a freestyle special the same day Dave Chappelle dropped one of his specials on Netflix. And he was so much funnier than Dave Chappelle. So much funnier. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And dude was just really funny. Now I think he went too far, and like, now he's trying too hard to be like, I got to be flagrant, because I think at that time, during cancel culture, like the height of it, yeah, everybody's worried about losing money and losing deals, which I guess is a possibility, but maybe you gain some money, gain some deals. Maybe you get the alt-right behind you. You get the Proud Boys. If it got Trump in the office, maybe it could make you a couple million. It got what's the dude who had to pay all the money to the families of Sandy Hook? Yeah, like he found his audience. He probably don't even believe it. Well, he probably do believe it. Well, if he didn't believe it, he just leaning in. He's like, all right, look, these people, they like what I'm selling. I'm going to keep selling it to them.
Yeah, it's always interesting. But I thought Dave Chappelle was good. DJ Susan, you got to catch up. You got to watch. I thought even the skits were, because you know how DJ Susan has been a fan of Saturday Night Live since she was a kid. I never really watched it. And some of the skits, I'm like, this is corny. But, you know, you can't knock a show that's been on there for, what, 20, 30 years? Oh, probably longer than that. It's probably like 50. Yeah, 50 years. you can't knock the formula. So, you know, a lot of that stuff, you're going to have some losses if you're talking about a 50-year run. Even Jay-Z made about a bad couple albums. But,
Kingdom Come.
I actually didn't think Kingdom Come was that bad, but that Holy Grail Magna Carta was just awful.
I thought you liked it.
It wasn't. Oh, see, it's in terms of Jay-Z. Awful? No. I don't think Jay-Z can make an awful album. He's always going to find a pocket. He's always going to find a way to be cocky, humble, is what I call it, when, no, this isn't. This is, it has nothing to do with luck or because my name is Jay-Z or because I jerked over. Maybe not even jerked over, but because
I jerked over everybody.
This is just hard work and God-given. Like, he makes it sound like it's really just about work ethic. And in his mind, it really could have been. It could have been he just outworked everybody. But there are some things that's just not listenable to me. That I would never go back to. But, you know, the entire skill of work. I used to argue that Biggie was the greatest rapper of all time and Jay-Z couldn't do nothing with him. I mean, after a while, it's just like, nah, of course Jay-Z's the greatest rapper of all time. He may not be your favorite, but, you know, you couple with his albums and the successes of his music and how he's been able to touch so many genres, I don't think there's a discussion with anybody who's better than Jay-Z. He's just up for another Grammy for a verse that I didn't even think was that good.
First of all, we got to come back to that. But I think you're right. I think it was Magna Carta. I said Kingdom Come, but I think it was Magna Carta, the one that was really bad. I think you was right. I got to double check, but I think I said the wrong one. All right,
yeah.
You might have to explain yourself. I understand you said Wayne's verse was better. I disagree. But are you saying Jay's verse was bad? Not necessarily better than Wayne. Or you just saying it was a bad verse?
No. I don't think it was a bad verse, but people were discussing as that was one of the best verses of the year. I think there's about 10 Freddie Gibbs verses on his albums that's better than that verse. But it's Jay-Z, so I honestly get it. But, like, again, I'm comparing it against Jay-Z. Like, that last verse of Streets is Watching, I don't know if it's the last verse or the second verse. I get so confused now with the mythical third verses now that sometimes I forget what 90 songs don't have third verses and which ones don't. But that Streets is Watching verse, to me, is one of the best rap verses that has ever been written.
The Don't Ever, and Ever, people, Ever Come Around Here No More?
No, that's 20. That's Friend or Foe.
I'm trying to remember what verse you're talking about.
The Streets is Watching. If I can hear it start, I'm too busy talking. If you start talking for a while, I'll remember it. But it's basically just talking about how the rap game is how selling drugs is stupid. But he makes it sound like it's the greatest job in the world. But you're going to take some losses in it, and you have to accept that going in, and it might be your friends. And it's just...
There's not a lot of verses like that.
Yeah, but I think the way he put that verse in particular together, and it's probably my favorite Jay-Z verse, but I don't think that God did verse... anywhere near any of those verses on, not any of those verses on Reasonable Doubt, but Jay-Z's, I mean, he's such a great rapper. He's got so many great moments. I don't think that was a great moment. I just think it was a long moment, but I don't think it was a great moment.
I think you bugging. The dude got on there and bragged about how many billionaires he made. Then he went and took America apart with the war on drugs, and he made it all relatable and brought it back to his own, like, to music. Like, the double entendres for 10 minutes or however long it was, and a nice pop. He did something amazing right there. He did something amazing. And while just telling his own story. he had a lot going on in that 10-minute verse, and he strung it all together masterfully. Like, I do agree, Jay got a lot of great verses. But that's one of them. That's definitely, I think, one of the top. And then again, just the importance of it, like the timing of it, like right then, right now, while we making weed legal all across the country, and he talking about the war on drugs and how many black people got locked up from it and how people still incarcerated stemming from it, maybe not because of it, but stemming from weed. And I think you saw this, man. Like, they did a Jay-Z verse breakdown on NBC News. All the great verses and all the great lines he had before, they didn't get that treatment. There was something about this verse that got that treatment. They're like, oh, snap, we gotta talk about this. This is political now. Yeah. This thing, he's hitting on so many different levels here. Got Brian Gumbel doing a Jay-Z bar breakdown.
Nobody's watching the news. But in this, go ahead, DJ Society. You wanted to talk bad about Blur, about how terrible Blur's opinion is. Go ahead and say something. You don't want to talk tonight. You just going to shake your head.
I was going to say.
I know, DJ Society worn out. She had one day off, spent $500, and cooked two different meals.
but yet, Kendrick Lamar verses are too complex, and he's saying too much. But you love the run-on, double, on top. Yeah.
I just don't.
This is what separates the good from the great. That's how you separate the good from the greats right there. Because Jay-Z could do a 10-minute verse and stay in the pocket where it's just not word vomit. Kendrick, not so much. Or maybe he can and he just chooses not to.
Not great at all.
Kendrick is for people that read. Jay-Z is for people that play talk. But no, I love Jay-Z.
I don't elevate his rap game to that level.
Hey, I disagree with you there, DJ. I think he's one of the most, especially in that, in my lifetime, Hard Knock Blueprint phase. He was at that level. Like, he was at a different level. That Dynasty album is some of Jay-Z's best verses. And I don't know if it's because he have to do as much heavy lifting trying to put together songs, trying to put together hits and all that stuff. But that Dynasty album, them Jay verses are tough. But
I think that's his best album, but that goes into controversy because is that a Jay-Z album? Because more of a compilation album against the Dynasty, but you're right. He come in flapping on that, but when you could just kind of fall back on Beans and let Beans do the heavy lifting, it's easy to come in and just be the pinch hitter.
Hey, before we get into that, I mean, I agree. Hey, New York, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. You feel free to jump in whenever you want. But let's be honest, y'all. Can we have an honest discussion with Jay-Z? I don't know if he listens to this podcast or not. Shout out to Hov if you listen. I'm pretty sure you don't. But just in case some algorithm gets you to hear this, can we talk about how many billionaires Jay-Z really made?
Himself.
He said he
Y'all don't think Rihanna he made Rihanna a billionaire?
That's what he said. I ain't heard Rihanna say once, thank you, Jay-Z, for helping me become a billionaire.
Fenty helps Rihanna become a billionaire.
Whoa. Because Ms. Pond Replay wasn't getting no Fenty deal.
I don't think Jay-Z was ahead of... we got the Pond Replay out. I don't think Jay-Z was at Def Jam when that dropped.
Yeah, he the one who got her started. Because he talked about that. Back then she came with the big forehead and then she was like, you know, in the little skating ring. She was whack. She was whack with that first song. Jay-Z turned that around.
She was never white.
They pushed her hard from her first album. But
Brown had more of a thing making her a billionaire than Jay-Z.
They still they really pushed Rihanna. She was in the movie.
No,
she was still with the machine. it was still, I mean, something that was put out there. I don't think it's Jay-Z. I'm not saying that hurt, but I don't.
I mean, I think it was just the labels. They tried to make Chris Brown, Rihanna, the Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears of black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And in that popularity of that couple, of that power, young, sexy, hot couple, was all.
But why were the power couple? Is because he made Rihanna a household name, or she was grown into a household name.
I don't
it
think
was,
he did.
If she was still doing the Pond the Replay stuff, Mr. DJ, come play the replay, whatever that was. Yeah, first of all, she might not even have landed at Chris Brown. Secondly, wouldn't nobody care? It would have just
but
been
see,
Chris
I,
Brown is up and coming pop icon, and he's dancing, doing with this chick that Def Jam got. Jay-Z took her from that. It made her something.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think Jay had anything to do with that. One, I think that Pond and Replay was a international smash.
Oh, no.
I don't
no, that was not an international smash.
I have to disagree on that one, too.
Go ahead, New York, New York.
Nah, it's kind of like one of those songs where, like, if you think about, like people like Caribbean artists and stuff like that, like even you take Pitbull for example, you know, Pitbull started out rapping.
Hey, just real quick, New York, I just want to let you know that Pond the Replay as it went double platinum. But go ahead, New York.
Yeah, no, exactly, and that's the thing, because like it's not just like. So it's more of a sense of like, so you can make like music for us like as Americans and stuff like that. Caribbean people can make stuff like for themselves and the culture that they came up in. But that the Pond the Replay is different in a whole type of sense, because when we go to clubs and stuff like that. You know, they got certain type of segments where they play hip-hop, they play reggaeton, they play soca and all this other stuff. That's a major hit in the clubs. That's a major hit in the club. And I can understand why it went double platinum. I can understand why it went double platinum. Like, yeah, nah, that's definitely a hit. That's definitely a hit for me.
And you know what? I was wrong because while New York knew it. I just looked it up that in 2005, hey, watch y'all background. In 2005, Rihanna was discovered by American record producer Evan Rogers in her home country of Barbados. The 16-year-old's demo was then sent to Def Jam Recordings, where it was played to the company's new CEO, Jay-Z. Jay-Z invited Rihanna to the audition, and Riri left the audition with a 6-album record deal. So, it's not making her a billionaire, but I can understand now why he says, like, there's nothing, that record deal didn't make Rihanna a billionaire, right? It didn't. But I guess Jay-Z can say, hey, without me, she never gets discovered.
Yeah, let me discover Tierra Marie. Where is she? Discovered, I mean, we can name many a singer. So
he dropped Tierra Marie?
No, I'm just saying, but he discovered her. She was on the label. She was the first female singer on his label. Where did she go? She is a talent. Like, it wasn't Jay-Z. It was just, she just didn't make any business. Like, he's not making people. Who else? If I was the girlfriend, I mean, yo, that was, I loved her. I can't think of her name right now.
The laundromat singer, Nia?
No,
Nivea?
Not Nivea.
If
see,
it was, you
know. I can't even think of her now. Dang it, I almost got it. Anyway, she was on Rock. Where she go? Okay, thank you. I'm going to go.
Hey, he don't give people their shot, which is exactly what he's saying. Like, you know, I listened to this thing before, and they were talking about, like, how to make a Beyonce. Like, Beyonce is the culmination, the best of writers, the best of producers, the best in the unlimited budget that a label could put behind you. So you need all that to come to get to a Beyonce. Jay-Z's only one part of that. So, yeah, he can put his stamp on a Tierra Marie, which I think he probably dropped the ball on her a little bit because she was all right, and she had that second single about her dad not being around, and that just totally ruined, and he had to drop her. But he's only one part of that. You got to have talent as well. Like, you got to have other stuff, but you can't take away his portion of it. You can't discount what he's done, him putting his stamp on it and putting you in the right place.
But that doesn't mean that he's the reason why she became a billionaire. So we disagree with that, Rihanna. Well, let me just go around the room.
Name
Blur.
Name
well, he said four, so we're going to have that discussion. Hey, Lil Wayne's at the game tonight. Oh, he played the music tonight? Oh, shit, I got to stamp and watch Lil Wayne.
After show.
Oh, I got to watch stamp and watch that. Yeah, Lil Wayne is... People don't understand. I think his impact on rap is bigger than Jay-Z's. We can have that discussion, too. Because all these mumbling-ass, dread-headed, drug-induced kids, they're all from Lil Wayne. Ain't that many people out there selling cocaine from Jay-Z.
You're mixing the arrows. Jay-Z had an arrow when everybody was doing exactly what he did, whatever he told him to do. And then it was Wayne's turn, and then Wayne got his error, and everybody wanted to be like Wayne.
Jay-Z told everybody to wear button-ups. Cats did that for about a month and was like, I'm not wearing these shits on the corner.
Man, can you imagine? Like, even the button-ups, people had the button-ups with mad flavors looking like a checkerboard. Like, that's a lot of stripes. Yeah,
no,
it was
I was working
like the baggy jeans. It was the baggy jeans and then unlaced Tim. That was a bad fashion sense. But he wearing button ups.
I was at Burlington Coat Factory. The day the song dropped, the very next day, everybody came in there looking for button ups. When I tell you, I told my dad, like, yo, man, we got to do something about getting more buttons up. And he was like, why? I was like, because Jay-Z said so. And I promise you, the very next day, it was like a flood of people constantly. I worked whatever, my little 7-8 hour shift, constant flow of people. Yo, where y'all button ups at? Where y'all button ups at? Where y'all button up at? He also told people, death of Baritone. You know what happened? T-Pain was on a run. I don't even think T-Pain had a thing. He's like, yo, last year they said I wasn't hip hop enough to be at the hip hop awards. This year, everybody at the hip hop awards because of me. Jay-Z said death of Baritone, death of T-Pain. Like, the dude had a run with whatever he said goes. That was it. He had people wearing Reebok shoes again.
And that's what I hate about Jay-Z people. And I know you're not, like, a huge Jay-Z person, Blur. I mean, I know you're a fan, just like all of us. But that's not what killed T-Pain. Like, nothing really killed T-Pain. T-Pain had 3 multi-platinum albums in a row and then went independent. Like, T-Pain dropped a hit last year, or not last year, probably 2 years ago, with Tory Lanez. That Jerry Sprunger joint was fire. Like, T-Pain,
see, this is what I'm talking about. T-Pain could put out songs. T-Pain said himself that when Jay-Z did Death of Auto-Tune, it got cold for him because people were like, they didn't want to do the Auto-Tune thing anymore. Well, yeah, there were other factors. Yeah. Of course, there were other factors. Just like 50 Cent didn't kill Ja Rule's career. People were getting tired of Ja Rule at the right time. 50 Cent came at the right time when people was already like, all right, I'm tired of hearing this thing, dude. People weren't actually tired of T-Pain just yet. They might have been growing. I was growing tired of them. I actually called the radio station one because they were like, yo, tell us what you think. I was like, yo, I'm tired of hearing featuring T-Pain. And they're like, nah, that's it. Featuring T-Pain. I'm tired of hearing that.
But that had nothing to do with the auto-tune. People were still doing auto-tune. People are still doing auto-tune now. If I remember correctly, when Death of Auto-Tune was nominated for a Grammy or whatever, or a BET award, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a Grammy. I'm pretty sure it was a BET award. There was like 4 other songs that were on there that all had auto-tune on it.
And that was a rap for them. That was the A-Rab money and jumping out the window or whatever. He came out right after that. It was a rap. Right after that.
Was still rapping on.
How the Love was after that?
That was like 2 years after that.
It's still after Auto-Tune. It was the number one.
Came back. He didn't kill it forever. He ended it. Of course, things came back. Like, yeah, T-Pain just put out a song not too long ago.
Hold on. How you end something that is still there?
It's a comeback.
Then it ain't
it. So wait. So you did it. So Bell Bottoms never ended, right? Because Bell Bottoms come back every couple of years. It never ends. They things go out and they come back, and somebody has to force it out. Like, nah, we ain't on that no more.
You know what?
I don't think
when Jay-Z said, "Go ahead, New York." Who are you talking to? Me?
No,
or
Blur? I can see what Blur is saying, because like that auto tune lane was when T-Pain came out. He came out with his own lane. He brought back a different sound. Using all like auto-tune and stuff like that. That was his lane to get hit, but like hits and stuff like that. But like, how long can you do auto-tune and everybody is copying your style, and then everybody else just runs with it and everything else like that? I know people or rappers that still be using auto-tune just to fine tune their notes. And how they be singing and stretching their vocals on songs today, but that the whole sound of auto-tune as far as T-Pain is concerned, that's his lane.
And everybody was copying it and using him and getting on it, and then Jay-Z was like, all right, we got to stop this, and everybody's like, all right, Jay-Z said stop it, we stopping it.
I don't think anybody stopped. That's my problem. I don't think anybody.
All right, so wait. You just said there was four songs that was using auto-tune when DOA came out. How many songs were using auto-tune the year after that?
Go ahead.
No, I just think that it's a different type of auto-tune sound now. Like, the auto-tune sound that T-Pain had when he came out was like it was mad prominent. Like you can hear like Ron Browse or anybody from New York like actually taking the style from T-Pain and then using it as their own. That was like an actual, like, when you hear like auto-tune, you can actually decipher from it. Now it's when you hear auto-tune now, it doesn't sound as prominent as T-Pain songs as back then. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. You're exactly right, because T-Pain got shown how to use auto-tune from Teddy Riley. So Teddy Riley was using auto-tune before then. Yeah, so we're not saying he didn't destroy the technology. Did they stop making auto-tune mics? No, they still made them. Were people using it, and were people copying T-Pain style? No, and the reason they weren't in that lane copying T-Pain and throwing T-Pain on every single song, because Jay-Z was like, nah, we off that.
Don't agree. I think people were still using auto-tune. Maybe T-Pain wasn't as strong of a feature. When did Jamie Foxx and T-Pain song come out? Blame It on the Goose. Blame It on the Alcohol. Was that before?
That was early. That was early on. Yeah, that was way before.
You think that? Well, you say way before. And T-Pain ain't have that long of a run.
I think that was, like, before the start of his run. I think that was before he did, like, the album. I think that was, like, before his albums, like, actually started popping. I think that was on, like, early on. There was a whole summer or two.
Year before.
Where every single artist, I want to say out of Atlanta, maybe one out of Atlanta, every single artist just had a T-Pain feature. He was on everything.
So was it the auto-tune or was it T-Pain?
One and the same. It was the T-Pain thing.
It was one and the same, too, because it was like one of those things that have never been done at that time. Like, before that, it actually has been done, but when T-Pain came out with that style, it became like an actual, like, something that people can ride the wave on. And everything like that. So, like, after T-Pain came with it, like, other songs like Ron Browse, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, like Pop Champagne or like the Busta the Busta Rhymes song. I don't want to get the lyrics. The actual autotune on that, it was fire. It was fire. But then it translated to other artists like Kanye West, or like Travis Scott, or even to Future, or Future right now, and Travis Scott right now still using autotune. Even Tory Lanez. It's just like, yeah.
So nobody killed autotune. That's my whole point. So
yeah,
you said autotune like the technology. Yes. No one went in and said, yo, stop making these, stop using these. No. We're talking about the sound. The actual T-Pain sound.
Jay-Z said death of autotune. Nobody killed autotune. Everybody kept using it. They said, Jay-Z, like your cool little song, old man. We're going to keep on using this because none of us can sing. Lil Wayne did it for probably 7 years after that.
You know what I'm talking about. Because when A-Rab Money and Jumping Out the Window came out, that sound was done after Jay-Z. Was there a different type of sound after that? Yeah.
I see what Blair is saying, because it's kind of like if you listen to the music back then when T-Pain came out and then all the artists after that came out, it was prominent to the point where you could actually hear somebody singing on a record, and it was like you can actually distinguish, oh, that's autotune. That's really what it is. That's really what it is. Now it just morphed into something else to down to the science of where it's you don't hear it like a prominent, like you don't just hear an artist now today be like, oh, that's T-Pain's vocals or that's what T-Pain did back then. It's kind of like it's been morphed into an actual different style now. But nobody killed autotune. They just killed the style that T-Pain came with in his time and everything that.
All I Do Is Win came out the year after Death of Autotune. I'm just saying, I think y'all forget. Look, I'm a T-Pain defender. I think y'all forget my man got hit. Like, my man would give anybody, and I don't know if he did a versus. I think he did with Lil Jon. My man T-Pain to give people the blues in the verses. Like, all the two. We got my man M-Extra, my bad. I'm just seeing y'all. I don't know how long you've been on. Because I've been looking at my phone on autotune songs after Death of Autotune, and I haven't looked up. Did Jay-Z kill autotune?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's clearly still around, so how he kill anything? My opinion.
They're telling me the style of autotune used is different. He used autotune in Death of Autotune. Didn't Jay-Z say after this, throw some T-Pain on my shit? What was that song? See, now my memory. Wasn't that on a Kanye West song?
I don't know.
He said throw some of that T-Pain.
Look, he 808 and Heartbreak. He used autotune on that.
Oh. Yo. And was that after Death of Autotune? See, now I'm asking you, so I don't know.
I'm looking at an article right here. I'm going to see if I can put this in the chat because I'm on the tablet. Let me scroll back up to the top. He had 17 of the top 20 hits in Billboard is like it's like 2008 or 9. I'm going to find it again. And this is an interview with him. T-Pain, 17 out of the top 20. And then Death of Autotune came out. It's an interview with NPR, but the article, Jay-Z's Death of Autotune in 2009, all but sealed T-Pain's fate. Oh, thank you. They got this man talking about it. In 2009, when Jay-Z dropped DOA, it was a rap for him. He went from having 17 of the top 20 hits, with him writing credits and featured on 17 out of the top 20 songs. DOA came out, and it was rap. From this man's own words.
You didn't say any quote. I was waiting for you to finish. What did T-Pain say?
Because there's a video, that's why. So I'm trying to like look at it, but it's a video of a plane. I'm reading the article.
Give me some information.
Okay.
Yo, I thought you was right. Give me some information.
I'm reading an article, and they're talking about. I'm reading an article, and they're summarizing the video, and they're talking about this is what he's saying, but it's an actual NPR video they're playing.
All right. Well, when you get through that, my bad. Actually, I didn't mean to cut you off. You finished.
No, you good, bro? I'm late to the show.
Yeah. We chill, man. Damn, it's been an hour. We ain't talked about shit that I want to talk about. All right, man. Fuck this. We gotta get to more important stuff, man. We'll have that. We'll keep. We'll keep.
All right. Real quick. Here goes the quote I just happened to see right here. He says, it really hurt, and I didn't know why. I would go to shows, and fans regularly chanted, F. T. Payne.
But they paid to go to the show.
But they paid to go to the show?
What was that?
I don't know how that killed autotune. We can't go in this round robin. That's what I said. Are you saying that death of autotune killed T-Pain, or did it kill autotune? Because it didn't kill autotune.
See, you think autotune is the technology. Me and New York were talking about autotune as in T-Pain's sound. Yes, autotune existed way back when. People still use the technology now. I think Tory Lanez got an autotune mic. So, and there's a lot of people got the autotune mic. You just think talking to the mic and it does it for you. The T-Pain sound that had him on 17 out of 20 of the top 20 songs on Billboard, 2009, Jay-Z dropped DOA, and it was a rap for him. And anyone else using that sound?
But he still uses his sound. He still makes songs that top Billboard afterwards.
He had to come back. He came back after that, but it was a rap for him. He went from having 17 out of 20 to barely getting the sound played. Come on, man.
So you say in 2009, he had 17 out of the 20 songs on Billboard. So you're saying in 2010, he had zero?
Let me see. I'll find out for you. I'll find out exactly what he had. But I'm pretty sure, because you know songs linger on. It linger on. So whatever he was popping at the time, I'm pretty sure it didn't drop right off right away. Yeah, I'm going to pull up some stats. I'm going to put them in the chat.
All right, we'll have this discussion. All right, so, man, I can't believe it's been an hour already. And, Max, welcome to the offer. I've been always glad to have you, my brother. Hey, Elon Musk fired people from Twitter and then hired them back because he didn't realize he needed them. It costs $8 for a check mark. Yeah, I need $1 from all y'all so we can get the offer at a blue check mark. What are y'all thoughts about Elon Musk and his whole Twitter takeover right now?
It's not over with that. Then he just said that y'all have to be extremely hardcore and y'all got to go all in or you need to quit, and people starting to quit. They said, we ain't got time to deal with you. So that just happened like last couple days.
So what do you think? Do you think you'll still use Twitter with Elon Musk taking over Twitter?
Or do you think it's going to go to shit?
You think this is MySpace versus Facebook?
I can't be hypocrite about it, because when I first heard, I was like, I'm getting off Twitter, because like, I didn't really feel like it, but I still want a Tesla, so I don't understand. I don't know.
Well, he don't own Tesla no more. He just owns stock.
But still, he's got a fish,
huh? Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Jewish people always benefit. Elon Musk isn't Jewish. That's right. He's South African, right?
I don't know his religion.
Well, is Jewish people a religion or a race? Yeah, we have this discussion. Okay. I'm just confused.
You can be a Jew and not be of a Jewish descendant. So I don't know.
I can't be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. So, Elon Musk. So, DJ C-Sire, do you use Twitter still?
Yes.
What do you use it for?
If something, I get a a little tidbit of something happening and I want the inside scoop of that headline, I go to Twitter.
Do you have faith that that will stay consistent through Elon Musk's ownership?
Yeah.
Okay. And Maxie, what do you think about Elon Musk and Twitter?
I mean, I'm not really a Twitter fan. I don't really use it. I mean, I do post here and there from IG because you can do that. And rarely do if I get sent something, I go on there. But I'm definitely not going to pay a subscription to be on Twitter. And I really think that it's not going to last long, to be honest with you, just because of the way he kind of went about. He bought a lot of capital. Not to say that he can't afford that part, but he did put a lot of his capital up front to kind of buy it. And then the way he's kind of going about it, I don't think he really understands the technology piece of it. And I think that from a man that saw what Congress did to Twitter and Facebook, or IG and Facebook, in terms of content and the impacts of society, I think he's going about this the wrong way and thinking that just because he bought something, he could then all of a sudden say, hey, well, you can come back Trump, you can come back all these other people that kind of got blocked for that same reason. There's still laws against that kind of stuff, and he'll find himself on Capitol. I think he's going to find himself on Capitol Hill, probably not now because the Republicans will likely take over, but from that standpoint, I think it's a failed business model if he thinks that people are going to pay to stay on Twitter when you use all these other avenues that's free. So I think that's the flaw in what he's trying to do.
Man, that's interesting. So you're more of an IG guy than a Twitter guy. I mean, you're a little bit older than me, but, you know, I mean, we're basically the same age. But I would think Twitter is more our thing, our era, than Instagram. So you're more of an Instagram. See, like, when I post to, I guess that's Facebook, it automatically posts to Instagram, one of them. So you're right. More Instagram guy, Twitter guy, but you don't do Twitter at all?
I don't. You see, I mean, you obviously follow me, so you see what I post, right? So most of it's about frat stuff, right? And barely, and some about my family. I don't really post stuff just to post stuff. That's why I never really got to Twitter, because I just don't post random stuff with the character limits, right? So I'm really not on social media like that anyway. So that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't pay for that service, and I don't think a lot of people would either, right? I just think that, you know, I think that that business model of thinking he can monopolize a social media platform is kind of stupid. But you know, the key that you brought up about that Silicon Valley workers, you know, there's a lot of immigrants that get visas to come over here to work in Silicon Valley. I was literally just there a couple weeks ago. And firing them to rehire them was not necessarily was smart in a way, because all he did was basically, see, when you're a contractor, because of the way the, you know, contractors kind of work, you can't theoretically work longer than a year or 2 years, right? So 2 years, like for instance, even with my company, contract, you come in, you work 2 years, then we got to let you go for 6 months, and then we can hire you back. Because just the way that the non-compete works, right, it just seems it's a practice in the contract. So him firing them all and then hiring them back, it essentially allows them to extend their contract. Now, I'm not saying that's what he was doing, but it does help the contractors out, because if some of them were up against 2 years, they would have had to have been fired anyway. So,
right.
I mean, that piece too. So, you know what I mean?
Okay. So, Blur, what you think about Twitter and Elon Musk ownership?
I think there's two. Well, it's probably more than two, but I think there's levels to Twitter, because I hear a lot of people where the blue checks really matter to them. And people, like, really care about bots. I've never cared about being or anybody with a blue check being verified, or the number of bots on Twitter. But you listen to like somebody like MKBHD, it really bothers him. Like, having a blue check is really important to him because he's a brand, and he wants to make sure, because he has people who imitate him. So his account being verified is really important. And because he has such a massive following, that the bots who jump in the comments and then like scam followers. So having less bots and being able to pay to make sure that you're the only MKBHD means a lot to them, to like celebrities and people like the New York Post being verified as the New York Post and stuff like that. That matters to the average person. I don't think none of that means a thing. I don't think the average person really cares about bots. They see egg things. They don't care. They scroll right by it. It doesn't affect their experience on Twitter. So I don't think the $8 to be verified, I mean, for younger people, maybe it is a thing. But for the most people, when I was on Twitter, like, no one really cared about the check mark. Every once in a while, you'll see people talk about it. But those were really, like, the Instagram people, the, you know, the bottle service girls, the people who were trying to be famous in that. But the everyday people, the people who's on there cracking jokes and really getting it popping, didn't really care about a blue check. And I think that's going to be the thing. I think the people who care about stuff like that, like the businesses, like the politicians, like the celebrities, the actors, they'll pay the $8 because it might mean something for them to have a verified. And they might play more than that because they have to be verified and then they have to be officially verified. Or at least that was a plan at some point. But for the most part, I don't think people are going to care. I don't think it's going to affect the experience on Twitter. And I don't think Twitter is going to go anywhere because it has the people. Like, it's different from MySpace and Facebook, where it was still, like, closed networks, where Twitter, I mean, I know you still follow follow people and people follow you, but for the most part, it's open, like, because you're going to see what other people are posting and reposting and retweeting. So the interconnectivity of it, I don't think it's ever going to really, I don't say, never say never, because something may come out even be hotter than that, but right now, the people are there, so I don't think nothing's going to stop that unless something else game-changing comes out and, like, totally destroys it. But for right now, I don't think it's going nowhere, and I don't think him doing all these changes is going to really have any major impact. He's no time soon. Now, if you start saying, like, all right, you got to actually pay to tweet and stuff like that, or if it actually starts giving you different features, which I know, again, MKBHD talked about, he's like, yo, make the Twitter blue, have more features, like being able to edit a tweet and take tweets back and stuff like that. Now, if he does that and it starts giving you different features, like, oh, yeah, oh, your Twitter can't do that? Oh, you got to have Twitter Premium to do that? That's when I think it might have some impact. But until it gets to that point where it's just a blue check to identify yourself, yeah, it ain't going to have no effect on nothing.
Okay. Well, let me get New York to jump in, and I'll come back to you, Mexican. New York, what about you on Twitter? You're a little bit younger. Do you even know what Twitter is?
Oh, yeah, nah. I've been on Twitter since 2009. I think that platform for me is kind of like, I'm not the type of person like the post like statuses and everything like concurrently, like every day or stuff like that, or talk about my life. I might just post like one, two things, and maybe it'd be funny things, maybe it'd be like intricate things or whatever it is. But I like Twitter. I like what Blair said for this openness of Twitter. I can just scroll down on my timeline. I can see just mad drama of people getting the arguments and stuff like that. I click through the threads and I just read the comments, and it'd be mad funny to me. That's where I get my source of entertainment. But even taking it from DJ C. Silence type side, from what she talked about, I go to Twitter for my source of news the first thing, because when breaking news pop off, I hop on Twitter. They already got the think pieces, they got the articles, they got everything out on Twitter. So, like, for entertainment purposes and the think pieces and articles or what's current happening in the world, yeah, I definitely go to Twitter. as far as the Elon Musk situation before and after, I personally think Elon is going to fuck it up. He's already fucking it up. It's getting to a point where I'm on Twitter searching my timeline to the point where I see Elon Musk name every day. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck about what he's doing with Twitter, this, that, and the third, boom, boom, boom. But I don't want to see his name every day, this, that, and the third. He's firing people. He's hiring people back, this, that, and the third. It's fucking up my algorithm. Like, it just, like, I rather wish he didn't buy Twitter and then he fucking it up like it is. But nah, like, I really don't care about the Elon Musk. The people that he fired and then say, like, oh, he wrong and hiring them back, shit, I hope he hired them back for a larger sum of money than what they was working for before, for them niggas to come back. Excuse my language, for them to come back. Other than that, yeah, and then not only that, it's kind of like, I understand what the verification is doing. You pay the subscription of $8 a month, but now I'm starting to see people on my timeline that's not, like, even, like, verified sources. Like, you talk about, like, the Instagram models or the comedians or everybody that was, like, actually funny before this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, everybody got a blue check by their name, and I'm like, Come on, son. Like, it's messing up the news now. It's messing up the news. So now everybody got a verified blue check, like, from, like, even the celebrities that came on, like even the rappers and stuff like that, CNN or anybody like that of the political nature. I'm trying to get my news from, like, the actual credible source. Now everybody got a blue check. Who am I going to go to the actual news source for? Now I got to go back to watching the actual news, CNN, NBC, and all this other stuff. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, he messing up the environment. He really is messing up the environment of Twitter for me, to be honest. Like, I don't think you shouldn't get a blue check just because you pay $8 a month. Like, nah, it was already working the way it's working. Now he coming in and changing the whole dynamic and changing the whole algorithm of everything else. And I don't know. Like, for me, I think if it continues to go on and he keeps implementing new ideas of this shit, like, I don't know if Twitter is going to be that entertaining or that fun for me anymore. Because at the end of the day, everybody's going to have a blue check.
So you think it's a wrap for Twitter?
I don't think it's a wrap for Twitter. It's kind of like the same thing that happened with Instagram, right? So back in the day with Instagram, when you follow people, all you used to see was the people that you followed. So any post that you had of people that you follow, you would see their post. Now with Instagram, you don't even see the people that you follow anymore. You see recommended accounts that you don't even follow, like people that you don't even care about or people that you don't even know about. Now you're seeing that in the algorithm of your timeline, and it's just messing everything up. And it's kind of like, this is not what I signed up for. It's kind of like a change, but it's kind of like, yeah, it's changing something that didn't need to be changed.
Okay.
And that's where my frustrations come from.
Okay. MX, what was you going to say? MX, are you still out there? I don't know what happened. Blur, you got any response?
So I wanted to ask New York, when he was saying that, like, do you really be checking for the blue check marks, like, when you're trying to get news? Like, do you need that to know who, like, I think even before, like, I know there was an account, I think it used to say, like, did it say fake Adam Schefter or something like that, where it wasn't the real Adam Schefter from ESPN? Like, yeah. I knew that wasn't the real Adam Schefter from ESPN, but he was funny. But I think the real Adam Schefter said ESPN Adam Schefter. Like, I didn't really need the blue check mark. Like, I knew when the real Adam Schefter was posted something, and when the fake Adam Schefter was just, you know, cracking jokes or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the problem now, because on the old Twitter, you had to go through a verification process to get that blue check. You had to be of a certain status, a certain position. You had to go through the verification process to get the blue check. Now, anybody can get a blue check, so you don't really know who's who. Like, there was fake Elon Musk accounts with blue checks sending tweets just because they paid $8. So I think that's what New York was saying. I was like, it's all going to go to shit now because anybody can just do anything, which in the free market, in the free society, is how it should be. But if you're looking to, you know, get Mark Cuban's next business ideas, there's no point in following Mark Cuban. Why do you have water all over you? There's no point in following Mark Cuban on Twitter because you don't know if it's really him or not. Because somebody else could have just bought a blue check.
And named it Mark Cuban.
So I guess that's kind of the thing. That's why I look at it like, you know, like the Incredibles line. Like, if we're all special, nobody is. And I think that's kind of like, and again, at least for me and the level of Black Twitter I felt, like, I think one or a couple people, like, they used to be on there all day long. Like, they actually made it, TMZ actually had them on there as well. And they weren't verified. Like, they weren't, there was no blue checks next to their name, but, like, yo, they'd be on Twitter all day, and they used to have the, like, the whole timeline, the whole community. I call it, like, a community because, like, it'd be, like, the same 15 to 20 people, like, just chatting and talking all day, and it'd be funny, and it'd be hilarious as hell. No blue check mark. So if all those same people have a blue check mark, it don't change anything for me.
So, okay, so you think Twitter's staying the same. Oh, go ahead, New York.
No, it honestly stays the same for me, but it's kind of like now that I'm the algorithm that I have or the people that I follow that be spewing the drama and stuff like that, now it's going to throw me off now that they got a blue check by their name. It's kind of like, it's certain type of things that, like, I don't know, it's kind of like throwing me off. So, like, with, now that everybody can get a blue check, like, for $8 a month type of stuff, how can we verify the actual celebrities or the actual people or anybody else of that top nature? What is going to be the indication on their profile other than somebody like what Beach Bum Gum said, like how can we differentiate the fakes from the actual real people? There has to be a certain other type of indication to know that which the celebrities is posting some or other things like that is happening in the world. Like, I really don't care about the blue checks that much, but it kind of like, I would rather Elon Musk do something like the whole thing, like with Instagram is like, now it, you don't even have to like, you know, people get self-conscious about the likes on their pictures when it comes to Instagram. Now when you click on somebody's profile or something like that or like a picture, you don't see how many likes they got or stuff like that. I don't think, like, just having, like, paying $8 and then you get a blue verified check is like, actually, like, helping Twitter out. In a sense, there's other things that you could do with Twitter other than like that verification process for $8 a month. I think if he's going to do that, there has to be a certain different type of indication when you click a celebrity's profile or somebody that got like a certain type of nomenclature or a certain type of status in the world that indicates that it's different from everybody else.
Yeah, see, Twitter, you've even DJ Cesar, no more conversation. DJ Cesar is out. It's only 30 minutes left.
Yeah, tell her don't go, man. I still got to hear her playing on Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Black Panther. Go put them clothes up. Just come back. We'll do Black Panther right when you come back downstairs so you can go to bed. So Twitter, for me, fell off when they changed the algorithms. I prefer Twitter over because it was a place where you could release. You had to be creative in releasing a 100-character thought. And, you know, I like being funny, so, you know, I try to crack a good joke on there about a topic that wasn't necessarily trending. It was just about whatever was on my timeline. My timeline was dictated by who I followed, you know, which was mainly just sports people and you know, and comedians and things like that. But then once Twitter changed it, they said, basically, no matter who you follow, we're going to pump ads and different people on your timeline that you can just see no matter what. I stopped using it because I was like, now anytime I open up my timeline, like, I like seeing what my boys are doing, you know, what my homegirls are doing. Follow a bunch of celebrities, but I follow a bunch of guys who watch sports films. I like watching, you know, their breakdowns of sports films, and I barely get those because I'm getting inundated with, and this isn't to be disrespectful, but, like, take off death memes. And it's like, I don't follow any of the Migos. I don't know if I follow. It's not even like I'm getting retweets from people that was on my timeline about this. So I stopped using it. I thought Twitter was the greatest space, and then they messed it up. But I kind of understand, hey, you got to get ads. People pay to be in certain positions. So you got to get that. So I'm off of Twitter. I don't really use Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff like that, but maybe I should create a space where, you know, you can crack a joke and your timeline is your timeline and it doesn't have to be manipulated by anybody. But I'm pretty sure that takes a lot of manpower and costs money, and that's why people go over the ads and stuff. But we're going to pause that conversation because DJC Siren came back down. And we only got 30 minutes left. So, spoiler alert. I know Blur saw Black Panther. I know DJ C. Siren seen it. My man MX, are you back yet? MX ain't back yet, or he got us on mute. My man New York, did you see Black Panther yet?
I haven't, but I don't mind the spoilers because I'm going to watch it on the streaming service. That's legal. But, yeah, I don't mind the spoilers.
All right, so we're going to talk about Black Panther. Spoiler alert. I'm going to start with M Extra, then I'm going to go to DJ C. Sire. Give me your opinion on the movie. Give me what you thought about the movie, the highs and lows, and give me your opinion of it. So, matter of fact, DJ C. Sire, Blur, you go first, then DJ C. Sire, and then I'll tell y'all what I thought we could discuss. Black Panther.
Oh, man, I thought it was a solid. I mean, that's a solid to good movie, man. It was a solid to good. I really like seeing my baby Lupita in there. She looked good as always. I like seeing all the black love, the black woman love. I was happy to see that. As a movie, it fell short. I was underwhelmed. And you know, expectations is the thief of joy. And maybe I had high expectations, but it didn't connect for me. Felt like it was too long and it was made too long because they were trying to do too much. This might be Marvel, Kevin Feige and Marvel putting too much on this movie because this is essentially the end of Phase 4. And so I think they were doing too much trying to set up Phase 5 and everything else they got coming out. Marvel, so they tried to put too much in it, and it took away from the main storyline, and if they would have focused a little bit more on the main storyline, then I feel like it probably could have been a whole lot better movie. And I know they had to deal with, I know they had a movie all done, not done, but they had a script and the outline and everything was ready to go before Chadwick's death, and after he died, they had to scramble and change things up. So I understand that. And I think maybe they did a good job in that. Probably should have recasted him because this wasn't it. It wasn't it. None of the choices that any of the characters made any sense to me. The main character, Shuri, it didn't it wasn't working. Like, her arc didn't really work for me. Like, she made the change at the very last second. That didn't work. Angela Bassett was great. I didn't like any of the decisions she made, but her acting was on point. Good villain. He was very imposing. And a good villain where you could like kind of see where he's coming from. Like the Thanos, like the Killmonger. That's always great. So he nailed it there. Dude had the dad bod. Dude was out of shape. I know you're not supposed to body shame, but dude was out of shape. Maybe he didn't want to juice up and take the steroids and look like everybody else in the Marvel movie, which I respect that, but got to do something, man. Homie had the love handles. How are you swimming around all day and flying around and you got the love handles? So, I mean, it missed on too many levels, and it had some good points, but it just didn't land. It didn't connect.
Okay. DJ C. Siren?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I didn't look into all deep and trying to make everything be this theatrical, you know, like, like it's a superhero movie. I thought it had good action. I liked the storyline. I love that, you know, the women played a role.
Too much of a role.
You don't like women doing anything.
I love
being in the corner. So stop. you know, I love how they introduce
Ironheart.
Can I speak? Give me a second. No, because now I'm already mad because you just said about the bitches, so I don't want you.
I love them.
Don't talk over me, please. And
Shark has fangs.
I think, you know, I was wondering how they were going to integrate that. I thought that was great to introduce her. I mean, this is a Marvel movie. We are introducing things so that we can continue on our timeline. So I love Namor. I didn't think he had a dad bod, but I mean, maybe I just like dad bods.
Now we're back to being like we care about each other.
When the dad bods don't talk. And
now you're being sexist.
I'm trying hard to like match your level. So, but no, I thought it was good. I thought it looked good. It was slick. It was, you know, it looked good. I thought, you know, we mentioned Chadwick. We didn't stay on it that much. We kind of came back to it at the end. It was enough to, you know, give a tribute, but, you know, quicker than what I thought it was going to be, which I appreciated. Let's get to the story. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. So I thought, okay, so I went into Black Panther understanding its limitations. Like, black people, and then we had this whole Jew versus black fight for the last 2 months. Black people always have to deal with, like, mitigated circumstances. Like, Ryan Coogler creates this movie, Black Panther. Well, not Ryan Coogler. I know it had a lot to do with Kevin Feige and Marvel and all that stuff. But Ryan Coogler directed, first black director directed this Black Panther movie, Black Panther 1, that was basically an all-black cast giving black people a superhero that some of us knew, but a lot of black people are too cool to care about comics. I know that offends a lot of you, but I'm just saying. There's not a lot of black people that really read Black Panther comics. But this man made a movie that touched on, like, nah, you need to read these shits. Like, you need to get into Black Panther and Storm and these black superheroes because they're important in that genre of writing. They're not novels, I guess, but they're – but you know what I mean.
Graphic
novels, right?
Comedy.
And he was able to touch, he was able to make a superhero movie that dealt with black families and black males and fathers. And it still had a bunch of action. It still had, like, I thought the first one was so great because when you're talking about the black American plight, it's tough to make a movie like that that isn't depressing. And he pulled it off, right? He pulled it off, and I thought he did a masterful job. So I was looking forward to Black Panther 2. Because now that we got... Is somebody taking a trash can in the back? Because now that we got this black shit out the way, let's just make an Iron Man movie. Let's just make an Incredible Hulk movie. Let's just make a Spider-Man movie. Fuck the black shit. Let's just make a dope-ass superhero movie. We got the black shit out the way. And then what happens? The main man dies. Your main character leaves the earth. And you got to make another movie that somehow has to at least match or come close to the expectations of what you did the first time without the man that helped make that movie and without the co-star who might be the biggest black actor in America anymore because you killed that nigga off the first one. So now you're down two. So going into it, I was like, yo, he ain't got shot. And because you have to...
You're talking Black Panther.
Yeah. I don't know where you've been at. I was trying to give you a heads up. Have you seen it yet?
Nope. Hey, hop off. All
right. I won't give too many spoilers, but if you want to tap out, I understand. You would give us like 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, that makes you drop. Thankfully, I didn't say anything too deep because he knows Chadwick died. So because you had so – and it's just like, yo, why do black people have to face these limitations again? But we do. And Ryan Coogler had to. And I thought he did an amazing job with so many limitations. Did I think the movie was absolutely perfect? No. Is it my type of movie for this genre? No. Give me Deadpool. Give me Thor Ragnarok. Give me Iron Man. Just give me a superhero movie that doesn't deal with all the complications of death. If I want that, then I'll go to, like, actual think pieces. I don't need the emotions of death and heartache and pain throughout a movie where people are flying and swimming in water. Neymar did have a dad bod. I don't know if he didn't get the message to work out. I don't know if somebody told him not to do any sit-ups. I don't know if he didn't see Creed. But even besides the plot holes and the decisions that didn't make any sense, and the fact that Shuri was a good fighter when she's been a nerd all her life, like, she ain't never trained to be Black Panther. And she should have to fight M'Baku to be Black Panther. That's the tradition. How y'all throwing out tradition already? I still
to be
think,
king.
What's the difference between being king and queen?
I mean, you could rule her, but you ain't got to be the protector. Like, they pops with the king, and Chadwick was the Black Panther the very beginning, like when they were first introduced. You ain't same person, ain't got to be both.
Yeah, that's true. But I thought that Ryan Coogler did an amazing job with so many limitations. He was able to adjust Chadwick's death without drawing it out to the whole story. They were able to introduce so many people. They introduced the Seinfeld chick. You know, she's going to be in Secret Wars, which is what I think is going to be the best one. I think Samuel Jackson is going to get his shit off in Secret Wars. I can't. That was the best trailer to me at Comic-Con. Like, I'm not excited about all these people wearing tights running around. I'm excited about my man Sam Jackson in his Shaft
in his Shaft role.
Nick Fury slash Nick Fury role.
Running through Secret Wars. I think that trailer was the best one yet. But I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I'm not trying to give too many spoilers away since New York didn't see it. But I thought it was, for the limitations that presented itself and the fact that Ryan Coogler got arrested for taking money out of an ATM, I was happy to see the product that he created.
It was
a cashier. Oh, yeah, it was a cashier. In Atlanta, which is crazy. The soundtrack isn't as good, though. I tried to listen to it. It's a lot of African.
I was going to say it was
a lot of African rap. I thought they were all English. But apparently they're from Africa, and there's some shared type of colonization there.
Yeah.
But it was long, but it didn't seem too long. My kid had to take one piss. But, you know, I thought it was good, though. It was a little bit too much women power go. Like, think about it. Like, how many men have speaking roles in that movie? The colonizer and then Baka.
And
Namor.
Yeah, Namor, the fat Mexican. Look, we can't really talk bad about Namor Bobby because I grew up with Spanish people, and a lot of men, when they hit about 30 years old, you know, they get a little plump. And this is coming from a fat guy. So we got to give Neymar his props. He's fighting against genes. Mexican genes are great when it comes to old age bods.
We got the dad bod. It's that Corona diet and the Modelos. You know what I mean? Listen to Suavemente. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Bad Bunny got about 4 more years before them taquitos catch up to us. But I thought Neymar did a good job, too. Thought he did a real good job. I was happy to see. I don't understand the whole beef with the Mexicans, though. DJ Cesar, you got any notes on that? Why do the Mexicans hate Neymar? Ain't he Mexican?
Mexican.
Yeah, so I know, Blur, you can jump in on this. But apparently Neymar wasn't black enough to play a Mexican.
No, he's too black. They don't like black people. And he's not even.
He's not Mexican? I don't.
You mean the actor himself? Yeah. They don't like that play. I don't know about that.
Well, Blur, go ahead and explain it, because you
Well, yeah, it's a debate or a little conflict between the Mexicans. They feel like he was too dark of a Mexican and he didn't represent the light-skinned Mexicans, which I could see that argument if it was like all of them. If you're going to say all the Mexicans were too dark, like they did with Beyond the Heights or something like that, the little musical joint. And they were like, yo, you got all these people in Spanish Harlem or wherever it's supposed to be, and they're all light-skinned. Like, you're trying to tell us there's no dark-skinned Spanish people up there? In this case, you're talking about one person. How is one person too dark? He's not supposed to represent everybody. He's representing him. There were other people, and again, they didn't have big roles, and they were blue most of it, but there were other Mexicans in the movie. But the Mexicans thought that he was too dark, and he didn't represent the light-skinned Mexicans, which then started the whole debate about, you know, colorism within the Mexicans and how on Telemundo, and I guess the same thing that used to be with black people, how dark-skinned Mexicans couldn't get roles, and on all the Spanish soap operas, they only used the dark-skinned actors to be made fun of and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's becoming a thing, which is weird because I didn't think he was a dark-skinned Mexican. I didn't know, like, I don't know what the line is between a light-skinned Mexican and a dark-skinned Mexican, but apparently he's a dark-skinned Mexican. I don't know what do they think about the Cubans, if he's a dark-skinned Mexican, but, yeah, it's a whole little I mean, do they like them at all? What do they call them?
What, the Cubans? I mean, the Cubans are black. If Telecon was a dark skin, if he's dark skin, I hate to see what they call Cubans. If they call him dark skin.
Look, I wonder.
Yeah, it's
good. Cubans?
No, nah, well, I would say this in the Latino and Latina community and stuff like that. That colorism and that racism does exist. Even speaking on Puerto Rico, in a sense, you do have light-skinned Puerto Ricans, and that's kind of like how everybody views it. But there's still like territories within Puerto Rico, like African communities in Puerto Rico, like Loisa and stuff like that, where people are majorly like dark-skinned. It can still speak the language. It goes for a lot of Spanish-speaking communities and stuff like that. The colorism and the racism still is there and prominent in those communities too, just to shed light on that.
I wonder why. Are there any communities where the darker people are loved more than the light-skinned people? Why is it in every community the dark-skinned people are looked down on? Damn, you just see that pic.
White people.
It can't
colonizers.
Like, do Asians, like, do dark Asians and light Asians beef?
They make them bleach their skin. They can't be too dark.
There's no community, like in Russia. Like, are dark Russians better than white Russians because they're too pale? Like, I wonder if that opposite exists.
I mean, it does, but I don't know if those people, like, actually, there was actually dark-skinned people living in Russia or, like, Ukraine and stuff like that and everything like that. So when the war popped off, you kind of seen, like, the separation with it. But, yeah, I mean, that goes on in multiple communities.
So speaking of Ukraine. I mean, I guess if we done with Black Panther before we move on, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a great movie for what he had to do. Is it one of those movies where, like, where do I rank it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I think I got to watch it a couple more times. Because it's so heavy and deals with so much stuff, I don't know if it's anything that I'd really watch that much again. Because I don't look at that type of stuff from Marvel. I kind of just want to be entertained, but, you know, I don't know if it's my black bias, but for what he had to go through, man, and the limitations that Coogler had and what he was trying to do, man, I give him nothing but props, man. I think he pulled it off masterfully. DJ Cesar, you got anything else on Black Panther 2? Soundtrack was whack, though, compared to the first one. That first soundtrack was fire. New York, you got anything left on Black Panther 2? I guess you never.
Nope, I'm just waiting to see the movie.
All right, let us know when you do. Give us your opinion. Blur, you got anything left on Black Panther 2?
Now, I just really want to ask you and DJ Cesar, do y'all think they should have recast Chadwick Boseman? Or do y'all, I guess you said you liked the way he did it. Should they have recast him? Do you think that would have gave a better movie?
Yeah, Lupita should have been the Black Panther. Sure, he can't fight. She's a fucking nerd.
Nah. Like, should they have got a new actor to play T'Challa?
I don't know how the comic books go. I know Shuri becomes Black Panther anyway. But no, I think the fact that he died, you can't just throw a new face in there and say he's the new Black Panther. One movie after the original actor died. Now, if in the next installment you have a new Black Panther that's been, you know, added to the tribe or whatever they are, or who came in, then fine, I'm good with it. But the movement that was the original Black Panther, and the second time a Black Panther movie comes out, the impact that first Black Panther movie had, you can't just recast it as if nothing happened. There's just no way you're going to pull that off. So I think, and that's why I say the limitations that Ryan Coogler had, I was impressed by how he pulled it off. Because there's no way you just going to put, because I heard people saying Creed, make Creed the new Black Panther. Like, that would have been crazy. And we just not going to acknowledge Chadwick's death. No, I think it was done masterfully. I think it was done great. Like, you touched on it. It was a big part of the movie, but it wasn't the entire movie. It wasn't dwelled on. It was just always, that presence was there. He was always in the background. It had a big effect in the movie without y'all really just mentioning his name the whole time. Dope-ass casket, though. New York, New York, when you see it, pay attention to the casket. I think I want to get a... I'm rethinking my casket when I die. At first, I just wanted to get burnt up and thrown in the DJ C. Siren's casket because her parents got three plots, one for the mom, one for the dad, and one for either her or her brother. And I figure her brother ain't going to use it. So DJ C. Siren will use it. So I ain't got to pay for another plot. You can just burn me up and throw me in hers. But now that after I seen T. Child's casket, I think I might want one of those. Them joints is fire. But all right, anything else, Blur?
No, that was it. I personally think they should have recasted them, but I mean, I get it.
But what would the storyline have been?
They had a storyline. Ironically, they had a storyline. It was a. Still involved Namor and the Atlanteans or the Talokans. It actually involved another villain as well, but they had a storyline with T'Challa alive, with Black Panther, with Chadwick Boseman. And after he died, they had to revamp it and rework it. So, I mean, it, kudos to Ryan Coogler. He did, I mean, the best he could, getting a whole new story together after he already had a story ready to go.
Yeah, they, I'm just mad. And Joe Button talked about this on his podcast. I'm not trying to bite, but it is truthful. And I mentioned the DJ C. Siren when we were in the movie theater. The only thing I was disappointed is, in the first one, Black people were so, we were made to feel so proud of, like, how much better we were. Not better than we were in other people, but it showed that we weren't lesser than. In some instances, we were superior. Some instances, we were just like everybody else. We got our ass kicked a lot this movie. Like, if you look at the end scene in New York, New York, again, not trying to spoil it, but when they had the big fight team, just remind yourself to look at the boat at how many blue people versus black people there are. There's only about three black people left.
Oh, no, we got our ass kicked the whole movie.
Yeah. It's just like, damn, yo, like, we fell off. Like T'Challa died, and we fell off.
I mean, I get it, though. Narratively, that makes sense, because Black Panther is the only one who got the power of the herb running through him for the Wakandans. For the Talokans, the Atlanteans, they all kind of got a little bit of that in them, because they all come from that. So they're a little bit stronger. The Wakandans just got better technology, but they're a little bit stronger, faster, you know. Bigger, stronger, faster.
Which was the mistake, and I guess I don't know the comics, so. Which is like one of the dumb mistakes I'm getting mad at. Why don't you give all your warriors that Black Panther power? That's what the Awkwafina people did. All them got the lean. Give all the Black people the lean.
That's what make that little back and forth, not to get too nerdy, but that's what make the little back and forth a little bit better. Like, this is the two ideologies, the two different nations. One nation was being enslaved, was already getting oppressed by the colonizing, like, oh, we out of here. We, as a people, we're out of here. We're going to all take this and we're going to get about. We just going to go into water. Whereas Wakandas, they are untouched from the outside world. One person was going to bring all of them together and then protect them from the outside world. That's the Black Panther. So, again, that's just, there's two different ideologies from two different countries. Right now, they beefing.
I can understand that at first when you're just in Africa. But after the Winter Soldier, or what was it, when they all started fighting Civil War, I need T'Challa to call back, go back. I'm like, yo, they got this big green dude who, you know, runs around in purple drawers, just tearing shit up, and he don't even talk. He just yells and grunts. We need to take all of this. After Thanos came down here and wiped off half the planet, we should have a discussion, and all of us should take this thing.
Like, one other thing. That's another whole thing they talk about. That's another whole thing they talk about. It's like, yo, why don't everybody just get an Iron Man suit? Like, yo, you got enough suits, give it to everybody. Like, imagine how bad the Black Widow would be if she could shoot rockets and stuff out of her hand. Like, I mean, just give everybody an Iron Man suit. Why are you the only one who got one?
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely worth a watch. Take a piss before you go in, New York, New York. I wouldn't take an edible because you might doze off because it's 2.5 hour movies. But it's worth watching. You know, I know you said you're going to watch it when you get a stream. But, hey, man, you black, yo. Go to the movies and pay for a ticket, man. Support Ryan Coogler, man. That man got arrested for trying to take his homies to the strip club, man. If I won that $2 billion and tried to take y'all to the strip club and got arrested, man, y'all got to support me, man. All right.
I got a crazy strip club story, too, though. But, yeah, I feel what you had.
What's the story? Can you share, or is that a off mic thing?
No, we can share it. We can probably share it next week because it's probably going to go over the time that we got right now. We can share it next week, though.
Okay. So, yeah, we only got about 5 minutes left. We got to clean up. I mean, we got to end up. DJ C-Sire. Oh, just real quick. And, you know, we can talk about this next week. Putin shot missiles at Ukraine and missed. He hit Poland and killed a couple of people who were in a cornfield. They were in their cornfield farming, and missiles came and blew them up. That's got to suck. Like, if you live in a country and you're in a cornfield, the last thing you think is going to happen to you is a missile's going to hit you. But Putin missed, and we might really, really be on the brink of war.
Well,
and the funniest...
Because they were saying that they thought it was Ukraine, it was actually Ukrainian.
From what I saw on CNN today, Russia has to take full responsibility for the missiles because they dropped like 160 missiles on Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them was close to the Ukrainian Poland border, and it actually killed some civilians.
Was it Poland or Belgium?
I saw Poland. But the funniest shit was. It's not funny because people die. God rest their souls. Putin came out and said, we ain't firing no missiles. Yo, if you ask Putin if they at war, I got him saying no. Like, he's the president out there. Like, we ain't do that shit. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't me. It was Shaggy. It wasn't me. But I see the time. We only got 4 minutes, so we can't really have a discussion. But we got to talk about that next week. DJ C-Sai, you got anything to say before we roll?
Good night.
You've been trying to go to bed for about 30 minutes. Blur, you got anything to close us out with?
Ryan Coogler stole Rocky from Sylvester Stallone. Y'all have a good night and think about that.
Hey, that new Creed shit looked good. I know it ain't Ryan Coogler this time. I know it's just Michael B. Jordan. But my man, Ryan Daniels just got a concussion. But my man, Ant-Man's enemy, Purple, Loki. Who is he?
Jonathan
Majors. Yo, he looked real in that Creed movie. He looked real. I can't wait to see it. No bullshit. That Super Mario's look good too. Super Mario cartoon look kind of dope.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it. The trailer.
You wanted the Mexicans? Like the original one?
I Super Mario, but they're Italian.
Well, they were, but John Leguizamo is Mexican. Or he's Puerto Rican. I liked him as Luigi.
Yeah, I mean, they always made him Italian anyway.
Just like they made all the Italians Cubans in Scarface. All right, Blur. I feel you, man. Ryan Coogler definitely did jerk over Sylvester Stallone, man. Chalk up one win for the blacks. Is Sylvester Stallone Jewish? Because this could perpetuate the beef even more. I just don't know who. Is he real? I guess Stallone is Italian.
He's a
Stallion. No homo. Sylvester Stallone, the Italian
four.
What'd you say, Bar?
I don't know who to root for because I'm happy the black people getting our shine on. Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler, yeah. But you screwed over a creative, man. Someone, you know, got this thing off the ground and built it is, and y'all just going to help come in and take it from them. I don't know if I should be supporting stuff like that.
Hey, Elvis did it. Why can't Ryan Coogler? New York, what you got?
Look, all I'm going to say is shout out to T-Pain. He's one of the pioneers that changed music and the trajectory of music to where people is using autotune nowadays comfortably. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed in CNN saying they're going to pull back talking about drinking on camera because – I actually enjoyed them drinking on camera on New Year's Eve and the New Year's Day, and they acting a fool out there. If they're going to pull back on that, we not watching CNN no more. Other than that, yeah, I mean, it's getting cold outside. Make sure you got your hand warmers, you got your glove, you bundled up with the scarves, your jacket and everything. The flu going around mad crazy. Protect yourself, stay in good health, and protect your wealth. Other than that, you know what I mean? Good show tonight. I'm looking for a good show next weekend. I already know it's going to be a good show. Other than that, good night, people. You know what I mean? Make sure you eat the breakfast, the lunch, and the dinner. Stay hydrated. Take the vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin C, everything else like that. But other than that, we out like that.